give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rayray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 25. Let's lock it up, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, Internet? This is the Rayray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 25, recorded on July 8th, 2015, brought to you by Rayray.net and the Happy Hour Network. What's up? I am Ray Moraldi, also known as Rayray, and we've got a lot to talk about, really. this whole NBA free agency thing has been crazy, and it was basically capped off at the end of the moratorium period, where DeAndre Jordan of the Los Angeles Clippers, who had all but given his word to the Dallas Mavericks that he was going to sign with them, changed his mind and decided that he would go back with the Clippers after his teammates stayed with him in his house. It's amazing. My guests and I were actually talking about this during the beginning of that saga, and it's all but done. I think it is, but DeAndre Jordan is going back to the Los Angeles Clippers. And again, we have a lot to talk about. We talked about the NBA free agency, the Women's World Cup that has just been done, and we're also going to talk about the giant sunglasses that my friends have been talking about because I was wearing them on my trip from Portland to LA, and yeah, I'm going to bring those giant sunglasses with me to the NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. So, I'm going to have a little talk with my gal pals about the giant sunglasses, and we're going to go talk NBA free agency, the Women's World Cup, and other things. I think something about a male stripper movie. Anyway, let's do this.
It's Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad.
Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad. I am back here with Laura from Clear Eyes Full Shells. What's up, Laura?
Not much. Just hanging out.
Yeah, so apparently, like, my fashion choices have been a hot topic as of late, so
I think that's pushing it.
Whatever.
I think call them a hot topic is pushing it a little bit.
Well, at least around me, it's kind of a hot topic, you know? So, you know, it's all about me. Anyway, so a few weeks ago, you know, Laura had a cow about, you know, me wearing long johns.
Have a cow. You're the one who had a cow over the fact that I said they were dorky. And
whatever.
You're the one who turned it into a big thing. I can't believe you're always trying to blame everything on me. We're both Asian. Oh, yeah. We should be on the same side.
Oh, yeah. Let's go with that. Yeah, blame Rary for everything. So, you know, most people didn't think it was that dorky. But now
they didn't see you in person with the long johns.
let's go with this. Okay, so I moved back to LA. People don't know that yet, but the ones that will listen to this podcast will know that I moved back to LA. But first of all, I had a very good friend of mine accompany me on this trip from Portland to the Bay Area. Her name is Winter. Okay, so I was driving through the forests in Oregon, you know, because we're sightseeing and everything. And
What forest are you driving through?
I have
we're
no
on the
idea
freeway.
What it was called. Yes, something like that. Yes.
Not really driving through a forest.
Anyway, it technically is. Anyway, so I've said anyway like 25 times. So the sun was in my eyes and everything, and I don't wear sunglasses. I don't even own a pair. Winter had a huge pair of sunglasses that she was like, "Hey, you can wear these." I'm like, "Okay." So I wore them, and they look ridiculously huge. And how huge is it? Is that it covers basically like over half of my forehead, and my forehead is huge. So I wore them the entire trip, and I would take pictures with Winter in these sites and everything. We saw Crater Lake. That was cool. I noticed that people were not too fond of the giant sunglasses. They're just like, "Take them off! Like, they're ridiculously huge. Take them off." I'm like, "What's the problem?" And besides, they basically saved my life throughout the trip. The sun was in my eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I dropped off Winter on the Oakland airport, She told me to keep them because I needed them for a little bit. I left the Oakland airport, and guess what? Around 8:45 at night, the sun was still in my eyes. It was still up. The sun was setting, but they were still in my eyes. That's to save my life again. Anyway, I still have the sunglasses, and I might wear them when I go to Las Vegas Summer League. So.
Well, I mean, it'll probably be hot and sunny on your drive, right? So.
The giant sunglasses have been a problem for my friends in social media and in real life. You think it's not as big of a problem as the Long Johns.
I think the
Long Johns. So, what's up here?
Long Johns are a much bigger problem than giant sunglasses, yes. I mean, I'm not saying that the giant sunglasses are really cool or anything, but, like, I don't really think they reach the level of dorky as Long Johns. I mean, if you're going to talk about levels of dorkiness in your fashion choices, I would definitely put the Long Johns at the top.
Well, I'm not going to wear the Long Johns here in Southern California, and I'm definitely not going to wear the Long Johns in Las Vegas, Nevada in the summertime, but the giant sunglasses. They are not received very well. Why do you think that?
I really have no idea.
Is it because
I mean, because like I feel like I live in the land of the hipster in the Portland, Oregon area, and like right now, what seems to be really popular is these like I don't know. I think they're like 80s, and like people are wearing these big sunglasses with fluorescent frames or something like that. It seems like I don't know if you saw that at all while you were here, but. That seems to be a big thing, and it's not bad or anything, but I don't really see if that's something that's fashionable, then I don't see why people are making a big deal about you wearing big sunglasses in your Twitter picture, I guess.
They're really huge. Like, they're really big. Like I said, it covers half my forehead, and my forehead is huge. And plus, it's got that little, leopard print kind of, so it's really feminine sunglasses, but no one really cares to look at that because, number one, it's me, and I do girl talk, and number two, the glasses are really, really huge, and that overshadows the leopard print or whatever.
Well, I don't, like I said, I'm not really sure why people care about it so much. I mean,
I don't know.
Apparently,
is it because I troll them every time?
Seeing your eyes and your forehead are like, mean a lot to them or something?
Is it because I troll them all the time? Because, like, when I got together with my sister, she thought it was the funniest thing ever that I wore these sunglasses.
Or are you wearing them indoors? Because that could be a big part of the problem. Like, if you're talking about wearing sunglasses indoors, then that gets you close to the level of dorkiness of visible Long Johns.
I would
and
not
also,
wear them indoors.
If you're, like, doing that thing where when you come indoors, you put them on the back of your head. That would elevate you above the Long John dorkiness level.
I would not put them on the back of my head. Top of my head,
I really,
yeah. But not the back of my head, though.
I really, really hope not. Because that we would have to have a talk.
Well, jeez. People are already telling me that I need some kind of, like, intervention with my sunglasses. I mean, not my sunglasses. My winter's sunglasses.
Really,
they're not even mine.
I wouldn't agree with that unless you're wearing them indoors or on the back of your head.
I put them on the top of my head. For one thing. And number two, I would only wear them because I think it's funny in pictures. That's it. I wouldn't wear them while I'm eating sushi or anything like that, which is what I was doing with my sister.
Okay. But so your sister had a problem with you?
No, she just thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Oh, okay.
Like, why would I wear those glasses in the first place? Like, they're super huge. Ridiculously huge. And believe me, I will wear them for pictures inside Summer League just to get some reactions. Maybe I'll wear them when I interview the Lakers.
You should do that.
Why not?
You're there, like, don't you have, like, professional things to take care of while you're there? I don't really think
you're asking me to be professional? You're asking me to be professional?
Well,
I mean, I'm professional in a way where I will ask great questions and I will do my job. But, I mean, I've seen worse than people wearing giant sunglasses indoors.
So, well, as long as you're not wearing like tank tops, you're not.
Oh no.
Okay.
I would not do that. Besides, it's like I know people want to see my guns and everything, but I would not wear tank tops.
Okay,
it's
that's
not my
good.
Sort of thing.
Because it's been really hot in Portland, and there's been way too many like pasty Portland men wearing tank tops, and it's a really big problem.
I'm not pasty.
I know, but you should men should not really wear tank tops. It's just like, it doesn't really work.
Okay, so what about jerseys? They're kind of tank top-ish.
You can only, no, that counts like as a tank top unless, yeah, only if you're playing on the basketball court can you wear a jersey. And if you're going to wear a jersey, you have to put a t-shirt underneath. You can't just wear the jersey.
Oh my god, are we going to get into this whole, like, sleeves, jerseys argument again or something? Because I remember you were so against that.
I am against it, but you can... There are different rules for basketball players actually playing basketball and, like, other people.
Okay, let's not get into that. Let's talk... subject I have with a giant sunglasses.
Like, other people are not allowed to just wear jerseys with no shirt underneath because nobody really needs to see that.
Okay, that's fair. But if I wear the giant sunglasses as, I don't know, normal, I guess, like, you know, I'm driving, or I'm not wearing them for style, you know. If I want to wear them for style, I'd have much smaller sunglasses.
I mean, you don't really wear a lot for style anyways, do you? So it doesn't really make a difference.
No, not necessarily, no. God. Yeah, you're right. I'm not wearing much for style. Jeez. Fix that up in the fall and the winter. Terrible. So basically, you just expose me as like, Ray Ray is not stylish.
Pretty much.
I hate you. I'm ending this conversation.
Hey there, folks. It's your girl, Jackie Mesa Pepper from PepperOnSports.com, and you're listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast. Little fact about your host, Ray Ray. Did you know that he's actually the certified king of karaoke? I bet if you ask nicely, he may just sing you a little song.
You go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me. But we are never, ever, ever, ever getting back together. My guest for this show, Robbie Callen from CBS Sports, and Adam Jacoby joins us for a little NBA free agency talk, Women's World Cup, and a certain male stripper movie. Scratch! On the line.
Now we're CBSSports.com, formerly from FanBuzz, and he did the social media for the Atlanta Hawks. Robbie Callen, how's it going, man?
It's good, Red. How are you?
Good. And, of course, our favorite storyteller of all time. Of all time, that's pushing it. But Adam Jacoby's back with us. How's it going, man?
I don't think all time is pushing it. I would say, well, maybe it is, but I will certainly tell you I'm very good at storytime.com.
You are very good at storytime.com, but before we went on record here, so Robbie was just telling us that he just watched Magic Mike XXL. So how was that?
It was really good. Highly suggest it for anybody out there, guys and gals. It's
I've never watched it. Like
you would enjoy it, man. Like it's pretty, it's funny, and like I don't know, like the second one was actually quite funny and features Michael Strahan strips in it. It's really weird. He just kind of shows up as a stripper, and I'm like,
"Oh no!"
So here's the thing: if you like gave me 1,000 guesses and had told me there's a football player, a current or former NFL player in Magic, I never would have gotten the Strahan. I'm like never would have gotten there. Like Gronk would have been the heavy favorite, like way at the top,
right? Easily.
And then yeah, like exactly. Pre-rehab Manziel, maybe. but. Now, Strahan's in it, which is super weird. He just kind of, like, pops up, and you're like, wait a minute, is that? And then he, like, smiles, and you see the gap tooth, and you're like, no, yeah, that's him. So he just kind of shows up. But, no, it's quite funny, quite entertaining. I saw it in the theater. It was just the two of us in it, which makes the theater experience even better because we can just, like, yell and say which is...
Yeah.
It makes the whole theater experience much better. I highly suggest watching any movie you can in an empty theater.
my wrestling friends were telling me that Kevin Nash is also in it. So like,
yeah,
how was
yeah.
he?
Kevin Nash is actually not bad in it. I mean, he's Kevin Nash. He's like old, so like that's his stick. He has like really long hair in it. It's funny to see. It's really funny to see him in a movie about male strippers.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have expected Kevin Nash, but yeah, no.
Well, I mean, he's a pro wrestler. I mean, if any guy knows about performing for large audiences and performing for their reactions while wearing not a whole lot of clothes, it's professional wrestlers.
That's true, too. Yeah.
And Robbie, going back to your thing about yelling at the screen and stuff, A friend of mine in Austin said that the Alamo Drafthouse down there has a rowdy option, like there are rowdy screenings. So, like, if the theater's full, like, everybody is going in aware and with the understanding that it's okay to yell at the screen. Like, you can't play on your phone, and you can't, like, talk to your neighbor. Like, you can't do anything that's, like, distracting from other people's enjoyment of the movie, but you can yell to enhance the community aspect, you know, because it's a movie about male strippers. I mean, come on.
Oh,
you know,
well, I mean, I think you're supposed to. I do that anyway for certain movies.
Yeah, you like, do.
Fast Seven, Furious Seven, I was like, when the Rock flexes out of a cast, like, I'm yelling. Like, you can't do anything about that. That's the natural reaction. I'm sorry. I was actually judging the people that didn't yell in the theater. Mm-hmm. I was like, do you have no soul?
Right.
Because he just said, daddy's got to go to work and flex out of the cast. Like, yeah, yes, I'm going to stand up and scream obscenities. Because it needed to be said. Someone had to say it. So, yeah, no, that's the proper way to experience a movie. It's a full immersion thing.
Okay, so Robbie knows me pretty well, so I guess I should go watch Magic Mike XXL, whether it's in theaters or on DVD. So if anybody wants to watch it with me, I'm calling out a podcast. Whoever wants to watch Magic Mike with me, I'm all for it, I suppose.
Highly suggested.
Yeah, and besides, Kevin Nash, great actor. Super Shredder from Ninja Turtles 2, if you guys didn't know that. So, yeah. Anyway, So something went wrong with the. We were supposed to record yesterday. Right now it's Wednesday, July 8th. We were supposed to record yesterday, and things went supremely wrong. And we're supposed to talk NBA free agency. I just got word from Woj, at least a notification from his Twitter that Doc Rivers is going to try to convince DeAndre Jordan to stay with the Clippers before he signs with Dallas. Is that even possible at this point?
It's the moratorium, which is why
the moratorium exists.
Like, this 100% reminds me of some college football recruiting. Like, that was the first thing that popped in my mind, is, like, this is somebody gives a verbal commitment, and then here comes Saban to swoop in.
Right.
You know, and so it's really interesting because there's kind of like, you know, this is one of those unwritten rule type deals that you're not supposed to do. And I think the most interesting thing about this is, like, apparently the Clippers are trying to go around Dan Feegan, who's his agent, who's one of the super agents of basketball, which could put them in a bad position in the future with his clients. And then if Feegan allows DeAndre to walk back on the verbal agreement, that looks awful on him, and so he could get in some serious stuff with teams not wanting to negotiate with him. And his. So this whole thing, from that perspective, that's the most interesting thing for me, is how this shakes out with consequences from this are going to be much bigger than just where DeAndre ends up for the organization and for Feegan. And I don't see DeAndre walking back on a deal just because that would be a horrible look. And you have to think just all perspective. It's just not a good look.
Have we ever seen this besides Carlo Boozer? Have we ever seen this before? I know Carlos Boozer did it, I think, when he
his wife wanted him to take the money, I think, was that deal. But no, I can't remember any other, especially with such a prominent player, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like he's going to be walking into a hunky-dory situation in L.A., even if he walks back on his Dallas agreement. Like, he wanted to get out of the Clippers for a reason. There's strained relationships there. They're still professional, but they're strained. And he's going to be the guy, let's say this all blows up for Dallas and Jordan's Clipper again. He's still going to be the guy that wanted to be a Maverick and wanted to turn his back on the team. You know, so the minute that things go wrong there, and they probably will because they have before, and they will again, he's all of a sudden that turncoat who didn't even have the cojones to do that correctly. You know, like the potential for things getting really personal, like the fodder, that cannon fodder is already loaded. And it's just whichever other Clipper wants to light that fuse first, if they really want to.
The thing I'm most looking forward to is if DeAndre did go back to the Clippers, is the rant we'd get from Cuban would be legendary.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah. it's bad policy to go back on an agreement. It is totally bad policy.
But, yeah, of course.
But, like, there's a reason why this moratorium exists, and it's precisely for stuff like this. Like, they don't want people, like, they want a sufficient amount of time to negotiate these things before the start of free agency. Now, obviously, it's a little bit of a sham, but like, this is the exact type of situation that they were thinking of. And so I worry that the reaction is going to be, well, it's time to ditch the moratorium because Dallas got screwed here. But I don't think that's the right answer. I think that the right answer is the rule worked the way that you wanted it to work. So why are you complaining?
Yeah. Let's not forget that when DeAndre Jordan signed his extension with the Clippers a while back, he wasn't actually sought after by the Clippers. The Warriors actually gave him an offer first before the Clippers matched it. So maybe he's been wanting to get out of there for a few years now, you know? And he didn't feel like he was treated well as a star by the Clippers. So maybe he wanted to get out. All Chris Paul things aside, basically, you know? So maybe he's been wanting to get out for a while now.
Right.
Break number one on this extra large podcast with Robbie Cowan from CBSSports.com and Adam Jacoby, the greatest storyteller that you'll ever meet.
Yo, what's really good? It's the Heartthrob G. Celio. Chilling my man Ray Ray Maraldi, the only agent I know that willingly goes out to Oregon to do stuff. I don't know why he's there, but check out the podcast, though. That's my man. I'll ask you, boy.
The day is feeling good to me. The day is feeling good to me. The day is feeling good to me. The day is feeling good to me.
Hey, it's about that time for everybody to unwind and get yourself a peace of mind. I'm back in the shade with a ball fame and everybody going from hole to hay. Daisy Duke's going side to side. I got my ride. Your ride. I'm kicking back at the freak nick. Yeah. DJ's pumping old school jams. Oh, and all the fellas clowning, peeping at the sundress, waiting on the summer bunnies contest. And we'll be partying all night, cause everything is alright.
Free agency has been really wild for the first week, really. I don't think we've seen this much get done the first few days. Robbie, we were supposed to talk about how which one was your biggest positive surprise, and who was that for you?
Well, I mean, the biggest surprise to me of the early free agency was actually a trade. I was a bit surprised to see the Hawks make that splitter deal. It just because that was something we hadn't heard any kind of grumblings about, or you know, usually you get some rumor or something about it. And that seemed to pop out of nowhere. And then the biggest positive is for any team is LaMarcus Aldridge going to the Spurs. I mean, it's just incredible. Yeah. That team just keeps rolling along. And, you know, we've been waiting for them to die since they won, I think, like the 2007 title. Every year it's like, okay, this is it. You know, like they're not going to do it again. And they're eventually going to get old. And now they just like bought themselves even more time with getting Aldridge in. Then you signed Kawhi for a very reasonable max deal because he was up this year rather than next year. Yeah. They saved like $50 million over 5 years.
Exactly.
Everything comes up Millhouse for the Spurs, man.
Yeah. but you do like the signing, the trade for the Hawks, getting Tiago Splitter is a huge upgrade over Perro, who I believe is not playing in the NBA next year, right?
Yeah, he's going over to Turkey, I believe. Fenerbahce, or I don't know how to pronounce it, unfortunately. But yeah, he's going over there, and I love Ferro as a person, as a player. Spurs, right. Certainly an upgrade there, and I mean, you can just rotate him and Horford and Millsap and keep those guys fresh and give people different looks. And Splitter comes in, and he knows the system, he knows how to operate in it, and that's going to be helpful for them. And the biggest question mark is going to be obviously on the wing there. They're going to struggle losing Damari, but that was something I think most reasonable people expected to happen with the Hawks. We're going to lose Damari.
Adam?
The biggest surprise was that maybe it's not even a surprise, but I think the biggest shock to me was that the Lakers thought that enlisting the Maroon 5 guy to try to get LaMarcus Aldridge in the fold, that they thought that was a really good idea. And mm-hmm. and not only to enlist him to, like, just, like, talk to LaMarcus, like, as if they've got each other's number or whatever, but, like, they're, like, they decided they were going to make this big public push, and they're like, we gave Maroon 5 guy Adam Levine or whatever, we gave him this LaMarcus Aldridge jersey mock-up, and he's yelling on Twitter about it. Wee! And that's not a strategy. That, you know, you don't see, you don't see, let's say, Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20. You don't, let's say he's a Spurs fan. You don't see him holding up David West's jersey on Twitter. You know, and it's
so although funny. I'm starting to think they should have done that.
I mean,
probably.
Okay. Rob Thomas doesn't make anything worse at all. So, so yeah, maybe he's the wrong guy to bring up in this. Okay, let's say the lead singer of Smash Mouth.
There we go.
Yeah. You don't see him. Well, I guess he's more Golden State.
He throws bread at people.
The point is, the lead singer of Third Eye Blind. I think he's pretty unaffiliated. But yeah, I'm. I mean, it's such a shallow gimmick and
right.
totally not a replacement for anything serious basketball-wise. And, you know, these players are smarter than that. And anybody can give them money.
Right.
Anybody can give them millions of dollars. The Lakers can't just say, hey, you're going to be famous in Los Angeles. This isn't 1983 anymore. You can win in San Antonio, which is, I guess, technically a small market. You can win in Oklahoma City. You know, you don't have to be part of this long time, you know, decades long dynasty in order to be successful in the NBA anymore. It's more about the last 20 years. But I just don't think that the Lakers get it anymore, which is a shame because, like, I grew up liking the Lakers. I grew up watching Showtime, the basketball, not the channel.
Mm-hmm.
But this is such a far cry from a successful organization anymore, and they just don't seem on the right track.
Hey, it's so outdated because, like, remember 2 years ago they tried to get Dwight Howard to stay, and they had this hashtag #StayD12,
oh,
and they had Photoshop pictures. The Photoshop pictures of the Beverly Hills Hotel and billboards and stuff like that.
Just,
oh, God.
Utterly lacking in dignity. And from the Lakers, of all people.
I know. I remember writing about this for Foreign Blue and Gold. It's like, this is so tacky. What are you guys doing? And all the commenters on the site were like, whatever it takes, man. I'm like, no, not whatever it takes. It's shameful.
Photoshop is not whatever it takes. Photoshop is, we're not going to buy the real banners. That's not a grand gesture. It's we're going to make the fans think that we're doing things, but it's not real substantive change. Like if you really want to do whatever it takes, you cut bait with Kobe Bryant 3 years ago. That's whatever it takes. They don't want to do that for obvious reasons, but those are easy and wrong reasons. It's more we want to keep selling jerseys. But I mean, if they really wanted to win championships, Kobe would have been gone from there years ago.
Right, yeah. But instead, the Lakers get Roy Hibbert, Lou Williams, stupid Lou Williams, and just a bunch of young guys, basically. I don't know, it's not a good team to watch at the moment. And
you know who they need and who's available? Andrea Bargnani.
You've been wishing this since yesterday,
dude.
Andrea Bargnani,
you know, it's the best move that they could make. Not from a win more games, because they
of course not.
They'd be worse, but they would be so badly entertaining, and in a different way than they were over the last two seasons. Because like that was just rough to watch, but it was enjoyable if you like watching the Lakers lose. But in terms of actual basketball, throwing Barnes into the mix. Sort of turns it into, especially when you've got all the other gunners, it turns it into this weird, perverse, fighting for shots sort of situation that, again, isn't good basketball, but at the very least, it's not inept basketball. It's just poor shots being taken by a bunch of really mediocre shooters. And I don't know, that there's something oddly entertaining about that. It's like if the spirit of Dion Waiters inhabited the Lakers. I would be fine with that.
My favorite signings thus far is a really cheap one in Paul Pierce for the Clippers. He's only getting, what, 2 years, 3 years, $10 million. That's really cheap for Paul Pierce. Mm-hmm. And you know what he can do at this point still. Like, sure, he can't score 20 points a game anymore, but the guy is money on the clutch, man. You know this, Robbie.
Yeah. I mean, if the thing about it is it only really works out for them if they get DeAndre to flip back or something, because if not, they're pretty much SOL. I mean, they don't have the depth. They still wouldn't have had the depth at the front court that they needed anyway, even if they get DeAndre back. I mean, that was the biggest problem I thought in the playoffs, was just a lack of depth, and I don't think they really addressed it aside from the Pierce signing, which is a nice addition on the wing. But yeah, I mean, getting him is nice, and reunites him with Doc, all that good stuff. But you know, the West is just so absurd that even with DeAndre, that team is still like the 5 seed. Like, the West is so crazy. You look at Golden State, you look at San Antonio reloading, and Oklahoma City. You think those are probably your top three, you know? Everybody kind of forgets Oklahoma City hasn't made a whole lot of noise this offseason, but, you know, they get their big three all back and healthy to start the year. You have those three teams, and then you just have so many good, solid teams behind them, you know, Memphis, the Clippers, Houston. Houston's going to be really – going to be really good again. Dallas, if they get DeAndre, could be trouble, because they might actually be decent at defense if they made some good moves. And then you have teams, you know, like the Pelicans, who are on the rise, and it's just so insane to think about that conference compared to the East. It's just such a stark contrast. And the thing is free agents keep choosing the West over the East. It's kind of strange. You think about it, and you just look at the big names each year, and it feels like they're always going somewhere in the West.
It's tough to win 50 games, or it's a lot harder to win 50 games in the West than it is in the East. Mm-hmm. Like, by and large, it is, it's a tougher conference day in, day out, week in, week out. That being said, nobody in the East has gotten LeBron James out of the NBA Finals for 5 years straight. So if you want to win a championship, I'm saying it's a little more wide open in the West to get to the NBA Finals than it is in the East if you're not on LeBron James's team.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Well, so, I mean, and I partially agree. I just think there haven't been any teams to properly challenge LeBron once it's come to playoff time. I really think a fully healthy Hawks team would have given them a series last year, just because I don't think they would have won, but I thought it would be, you know, a good 6 games. We've seen the Pacers push LeBron before. The Celtics back in the early Heat years gave him some runs. I just think you look at some of those teams out West, and you know, I don't know what has to happen balance wise to make it happen, but the talent disparity is pretty clear. And I mean, you're right. And part of it's that these teams are built so well that one big addition really can swing a team into that top four, top three range in the West. I mean, we saw it with the Rockets. The moment they got Harden, they all of a sudden became one of the best teams in the West. They obviously had to add guys around them, but these teams seem to be so much better built from a core perspective than each teams. It's really strange to see, like, there are good players in the East, but the surrounding talent, for whatever reason, doesn't work as well. It's really strange.
Yeah. The Cavs are going to be paying so much money next year. Kevin Love re-signed for 5 years, $110 million. They want, I know, Tristan Thompson up for an $80 million extension, and there's still LeBron James, who's actually technically still unsigned.
Right.
Or hasn't, yeah. But, I mean, I'm sure he'll come back. I mean, I don't think he's going to do anything stupid, like going somewhere else. But anyway, that's a
Hello,
lot of money.
Lakers.
How freaking funny would that be? I'd die. I would laugh because, so hard. If he just, man, if he made the Cavs sign Tristan Thompson an $80 million deal because he's a Rich Paul guy, and it was just like, peace, Lakers. I would die. I would be done. I would quit.
Oh my god, explode, man. Yeah, dude. Suddenly all these Photoshop pictures of LeBron James in LA and everything in Beverly Hills Hotel and stuff like that.
So, here's the deal. If any of you guys know the whoever runs the Lakers social media
I do
account,
know him personally, yes.
Okay.
I do know him personally.
Well, it's time to start the hashtag LBJ to LA. Because that's what it takes, apparently. Mock up a couple Photoshops, get that hashtag rolling, and
I'll handle Photoshops for them. Don't worry about that. I've got you on lock.
Yeah. Right here. Oh, you're very
give
good.
Me a call. Give me a call. I'm very good at Photoshop.com.
Let's get the Maroon 5 guy on board, too.
Or Rob loves Maroon 5.
Oh. Huge fan. Huge. Although you probably should go with Imagine Dragons. He really loves Imagine.
Oh, he really loves Imagine Dragons.
Have you seen the commercials? Have you seen the commercials?
Yep. So many. Yep.
Loves them. Can't get enough. Can't stop, won't stop.
Man, but imagine, see, if LeBron does go to the Lakers, which is obviously a slim chance to none and whatever.
This is not even a slim chance.
The fans would be like, what the hell's going on here? Because L.A. hates LeBron, man. Like, they do not like him at all.
Here's the thing. Fans always hate great players till they show up.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, it's Cleveland fans hated LeBron for 4 years. He came back, and now they're best friends again. That's my favorite thing about fandom, is how quickly things can change. The moment somebody dons that uniform that you like, you put it, like, if Paul Pierce came to the Hawks, and mind you, he's like Atlanta villain number one in the NBA, to be honest, since Dwight Howard left the Magic. And even really before then, we just had to face Dwight 4 times a year. But Paul Pierce is villain number one and almost added, especially after this final, or after this Eastern Conference semifinals this year, where he had the whole I call game and all that ridiculousness. If he showed up in Atlanta, people would forgive it. There would be some that wouldn't, but for the most part.
Well, for the most part, they'd be like, oh, I'm glad he's on our team now. Like, now
right.
We have this.
And, I mean, that's how fandom works, man.
Yeah.
That's how it like, goes. Right. It's like, you can hate, you hate somebody because they beat you. That's really the only reason most people hate sports people, is they're like, they're too good and they're not on your team. Rarely is it for any, like, legitimate reason. Like, oh, I think they're a bad person. Like, there are some people that are like that. But the average sports fan really doesn't care about any of that. And so it's just like, oh, they're beating my team. Which is fine, you know. But the moment they show up, it's all different, you know. If he
right
showed up
now,
in that purple and gold, he'd be all in.
And right now, somewhere in Portland, a LaMarcus Aldridge jersey is being burned.
Yeah.
Yep.
which is the... Portland has to be one of the top what-ifs with Odin, Aldridge, and Brandon Roy. Like, that trio should have been so – that trio should have been so freaking good. Like, the year – I think I saw something where there was a year where Roy and Aldridge played together, and the team went, like, 50-12 when those two were on the floor together.
Yeah.
Like, that team could have been so good, and they just – It's one of the more recent what if games that's just probably the saddest of many of them.
Yeah,
because man, that team should have been good, and they kind of got screwed because they burned a lot of picks they could have had, which is, you know, it's unfortunate.
Which is and their peak was, you know, a couple seasons ago when Damian Lillard made that buzzer beater against Houston, and they got trounced by the Spurs, who, by the way, LaMarcus Aldridge just joined. So, can't beat him, join him, I guess. what's your most disappointing signing? Like, what surprised you the most in a negative way?
It's so I didn't like 5 years for Oshik. That didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Oh, me too. I did not like that 5 years
for Oshik. If that was a 3-year deal, fine. But you just locked up a roster spot on Omer, Oshik, whatever.
Oshik.
I feel like it changes.
Yeah.
I feel like it changed a couple years ago. When he got traded, he changed it from when he was with Chicago, it changed when he went to New Orleans. He got like the Cajun version. So.
But here's the thing though, like, no one was competing for his money.
That makes sense.
$60 million. $60 million.
So like, you're paying Oshik 60, over the next 5 years, you're paying Oshik 60, Alexis Ajinka 20 over 4 years, I think, and then you're paying Davis 145. So you have $225 million wrapped up in those three. Anthony Davis is probably worth that entire $225 million. But the other two are probably not worth $85. So it's really an interesting thing. You know, we were all really excited because we're going to get to see what Anthony Davis does under an offensive head coach, somebody with some creativity. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be fun. But I feel like putting him next to Oshik isn't really something he needs. You know, I think he needs a big body next to him is important because he's not there to bang with centers. You know, he's more of a four. But I mean, he's the rim protector. He's got all that. I think you need somebody who can, I'd rather put him with somebody else who can move better, because I think you could have a really dynamic offense that can run, and Oshik cannot run. You know, he's going to be, they're going to be playing 4-on-5 on a lot of these. When they push it in on misses, and even if they try to push it after some makes, Oshik's going to be, you know, lumbering down the floor as they're trying to get in the stuff if they try to play fast. So that one didn't make sense for 5 years. Like, I don't have a problem with the money because I don't know what the hell a good contract is anymore. I don't even know if there are bad contracts as far as money goes with what the cap's about to do. But the years is what bothers me with that one.
Let's not forget that New Orleans is spending a lot of money, man. Like, Tyreek is locked in for, like, what, $12 million a year? Same thing for Jrue Holiday. Ryan Anderson is getting locked in for about $10 million a year. They're spending a lot of money for this team. But well, good for them, though.
Tom Benson celebrating that he was deemed mentally competent to own the team. So he's like, I'm going to spend this money. Screw my kids. His kid, great. His
watch
kids
me prove you
like,
wrong.
His kids try to take his team from him and, like, say he was mentally not competent to run it. He's like, oh, yeah? Well, watch where I spend your money. Your inheritance money is going to Anthony Davis and Omer Oshik.
Oh, yeah, and I can't forget Eric Gordon getting paid. Eric Gordon getting paid $12 million a year as well.
Yeah, he picked up that option. Get that.
Yeah.
Don't blame me there.
Lots of money.
How are we how are we feeling about Mr. October, Reggie Jackson, getting the I would call it a pretty big deal from the Pistons. After,
again,
what, a third of a season?
Yeah. Again, I don't know what good money is, but that is a lot of money.
That is
$80 million?
Money.
$80 million for Reggie Jackson?
We'll be right back with more Robbie Callen and Adam Jacoby in this wild NBA free agency topic on the Ray is Fundamental Podcast XXL.
It's Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Ray is Fundamental Podcast. Once. That was enough.
Get up and let me go. This hurt, I tell you so. For the last time you will kiss my lips. Now shut up and let me go. Your jeans were once so clean. I bet you changed your wardrobe since we met. Now oh so easily you're over me. Gone is left. It's you the author.
Meanwhile, Woj notification here. Clippers arrive in Texas to meet a wavering DeAndre Jordan. A wavering DeAndre Jordan.
Oh,
by the time this podcast is finished, we might be like getting news about DeAndre Jordan switching back to the Clippers. We'll see. But
Stein just tweeted, Clips, I'm told, firmly believe they'll be bringing DeAndre Jordan back to LA on a plane.
Oh!
Which makes me a little concerned that they're going to kidnap DeAndre.
Yeah,
like it doesn't specify if
taken
he's
style
gonna be, if he's going to be a willing participant.
Well,
so
you know,
I'm a little concerned.
Well, Doc Rivers is an actual doctor, so he's got access to all the chloroform you need. And it will take a lot with DeAndre Jordan.
Apparently, J.J. Redick is also joining that group, so and Chris Paul could be on his way there as well. Oh, man.
J.J. Redick tweeted out a car emoji. He's on his way.
Oh, boy. That's it. Who's next? Liam Neeson's going to be there, too?
Hey. Liam Neeson. He's going to get taken for DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, so anyway, Mr. October, Reggie Jackson, $80 million after a third of a season with the Pistons. That's a lot. Considering Brandon Jennings also played well before he got hurt, well, that's too bad for Brandon Jennings, but, like, Reggie Jackson, wow. It paid off for him because he was offered 4 years, 48 by the Thunder, turned it down, got five.
It's crazy, man. Yeah.
He's just not that good of a shooter. That I mean, he's a point guard without a decent three-pointer. That seems bad.
Mm-hmm. And in this NBA, you need a three-point shot for your perimeter guys. So
I hope so.
Yeah. And, God.
Well, especially with how Stan Van Gundy likes to play. Like, he's all about people shooting, and like he wants everybody to be able to put it up. And Reggie Jackson, here's the thing. Reggie Jackson's not shy about putting it up. I think that's part of the problem.
But perhaps he ought to be.
Right. I think if you put him, he needs to be told to take better shot selection. Maybe he could shoot the ball better. You know, there are a lot of guys like that where it's like you just go, hey, if you focus and take good shots, all of a sudden your percentages goes up. It's really weird how that works. But it does. So maybe they can make him do that. But he was really, really good with Andre Drummond offensively. Their pick and roll game is incredible. But are you giving the guy $80 million to run pick and roll with Andre Drummond? Because there are a lot of guys that can run pick and roll with Andre Drummond pretty well. He's not a hard roll man to work with. If you put it anywhere up there, he's got it.
Speaking of LA hashtags, bring back DeAndre is a hashtag now.
Oh boy, is it trending? I put pray for DeAndre, because I'm seriously concerned they're going to drug him and put him on that plane.
Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening during the podcast. But wow, so that's a big issue right now. So what's going to happen with Brandon Jennings? Because he played well before he got hurt. Where is he going to go now? So he can't stay with Detroit at this point.
He can't. Million.
Yeah, who needs a point guard? A starting point guard. I'm not sure he's going to play backup. Do the Spurs need a backup right now?
Maybe.
Corey Joseph said it's to Toronto for $430, which is a lot, by the way. Well, I don't even know what's a lot anymore, like Robbie said.
Again, yeah, that's my thing. Is like, what's a lot?
Yeah.
Like, the cap's going to be, what, $69 million this year? Nice. And
nice.
next year's going to be like 80-something. I'm really confused.
Yeah. So what if Brandon James goes to the Spurs? God.
I mean, Tony Parker could use the help, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to Patty Mills, but at the same time, I feel like Brandon Jennings might be the guy who gets Popovich to retire. You know, sort of Darren.
If Steven Jackson couldn't do it, is he going to finish the job Steven Jackson started?
Exactly.
Oh, man. It'd be kind of hilarious if, you know, the Lakers signed Brandon Jennings. That'd be pretty hilarious. He's going home and everything. That's how you make up the Lakers, I guess. Yeah, but DeAndre Jordan. Wow. It's come to this now, I suppose. I'm gonna check out Twitter really quick and see that hashtag, bring back DeAndre. That is.
Chris Paul just shut Twitter down. He tweeted out a banana emoji and a boat emoji in reference to the banana boat photo. And I'm dead. Like, this is easily the best tweet any athlete's ever sent. It doesn't have anything else other than the banana emoji and the boat emoji. It's my favorite.
Oh my God.
Oh man. Blake Griffin has a plane chopper car emoji. Corey Maggette has a plane chopper car trucks trains bus. They're going
all
out on this, man.
Are they bringing DeAndre Jordan back? fucking pieces? Like what?
It's a caravan. It's like man. Furious. It's like Furious Five. They have the whole caravan thing going on. He's gonna be stored. The Mavs are. So here's my It's like Furious Six, and the Mavs are trying to transport DeAndre. And so they have him stored in a tank, and they're trying to transport him. And the Clippers are coming, like the bad guys in Furious Six, to hit the convoy, and they're going to steal the tank with DeAndre in it. That's exactly what's going on. That's the best way I can relate what's happening in the NBA right now to a normal person, because I assume a normal person has seen Furious Six at least five times.
A normal person is fluent in the Fast and the Furious. Fluent.
Yeah. So that's what's happening. That was the NBA in 5 seconds related to Furious Six. this is my gift.
So by the time this podcast is done with and edited with and everything, by the time it comes out, this whole DeAndre Jordan thing could be done. But I hope it's not, just for the sake of it, because, you know, this is one of the most hilarious things going on in the NBA offseason. DeAndre Jordan, bring back DeAndre. Oh man. So what's Steve Ballmer up to? What's he doing? Is he gonna start tweeting emojis too?
Ballmer's in a corner in the fetal position crying.
No. That's not what Ballmer does. Have you seen what happens whenever anything happens? Ballmer gets
He cries and yells. He cries and yells because I just assume he's fully shut down.
I don't even want to be in the same zip code as him, because he is full on hulking out at this point.
he's actually flying the damn plane, which is terrifying.
And he's flying the chopper too, the bus as well. So all pieces of Steve Ballmer is.
Have y'all seen Jurassic World?
I have not.
No,
Alex should.
Oh, damn it!
Okay. Well, this reference doesn't work anymore. All right, disregard that.
Do it.
Okay, so like the owner of the park, the owner of the entire park, like one of the plot points is that he's getting his like super minor plot points is he's getting like his helicopter license. And so in one scene where they're going to like battle the dinosaur and like try to shoot him out of, you know, with a Gatling gun strapped to the helicopter, he like decides he should drive the helicopter. And so, like, this is what I assume Ballmer's doing right now. Is he's like, no, I'm going to drive it. He's like, I'm the captain. Like, I'm the captain now. And, like, he's driving this plane to go shoot DeAndre down before he can sign with the Mavs. This is really incredible. This entire thing. Like, I feel like we're on a race against the clock. Like, planes, trains, and automobiles deal going on here. It's really good.
Yeah, and Ballmer's yelling at it.
When you need him. Rest in peace.
Ballmer's yelling at his Twitter, bring back DeAndre! Yeah, make some noise! Bring back DeAndre! #BringBackDeAndre!
Yeah, Ballmer's just like stalking around anyone who's even within 20 feet of him and just yelling, DeAndre! 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 Like, he's not even taking a breath, just doing the TNT circular breathing and just saying DeAndre for half an hour straight.
The Clippers love you, DeAndre! #DeAndre! #DeAndre! He's yelling #DeAndre the entire time.
How this man has never had a heart attack is a miracle of nature.
I know, man. I mean, aside from all the money, I wish he was my dad. Okay, it's all about the money, but anyway.
What's up, y'all? This is Sharif, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Somewhat Fundamental podcast.
The Women's World Cup was finished on last Sunday. The USA beat Japan 5-2. And it was, like, it had really high ratings for, I think it was the highest rated soccer game in America ever, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's great.
It was right on par with the college football semifinals. I mean, fractions of a rating point away from that, which is amazing to think about, because college football is one of the most heavily covered sports out there.
And it's a staple in Americana, basically, you know? Like college football is like...
I mean, it is over covered. I would go so far as to say the things that get covered in college football are often not news. And so it's a constant presence in the American sports landscape, and it did monster numbers that, you know, everyone, when the playoffs happened, were like, yo, these are great numbers. And then women's soccer, which is horrendously undercovered, you know, simply by dint of being very successful, and getting a modicum of what I have to say was really, really good coverage by Fox. They did an excellent job of providing, you know, the sort of news and background and seriousness to the World Cup that the team needed, and they were right up there with it. So I think any sense of well Americans don't like to watch women's sports, we're done with that. That's done. That's over. It's not even a debate. If you cover it even halfway seriously, and we're good at it, people will watch.
People are gonna watch. Yeah.
So here's my thing on that. The whole, like, will people watch women's sports? This sort of thing. Yes, they will. But it's one of those things where will women's one, like men's soccer, like the MLS has its entire, its own issues trying to get a fan, a TV audience and a stance in like major professional athletics. What it really shows me is just like, if you are able to brand something as America, we're good at it, people will watch it. People want that. Mm-hmm. It's as much that as anything, which is why the leaps I see people taking where like, okay, women's soccer is something the public is interested in. I want that to be true because there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good soccer that gets played and that sort of thing. But I think as much as anything, I'm like, I fear people are taking this a little bit too far, because if the U.S. is really good at something, which in women's soccer we are the best, if not, you know, one of the top two every year, top two or three, this year obviously the best, people will watch it. People want to see America win at something. And so that's my thing, is I just kind of want people a little bit to pedal back, because I fear that the optimism is maybe just a smidge higher than it should be for what the future holds for women's sports and everything. But I agree with you that if you cover it in the right way, you can start to build it. I think that's the thing that this shows. As much as anything, is you have to be willing to try and build it, and hopefully TV executives and whoever see this success and go, we can do this.
So how's the already of soccer now compared to say a few months ago? What do you think?
I mean, we'll see. There's no reason to be pessimistic about it.
Right.
I would say. But you know, a lot of it has to do with the continued support of the club situation here for both men and women, and you know how nice the TV deals are on top of that. I think ESPN's done a pretty good job with MLS, about as good as you can expect. I think the what would really help these guys is if they get more visible. What's the word I'm looking for? Endorsements. Get Abby Wambach on some commercials. Get somebody other than Landon Donovan to pitch stuff. You know, get them in front of people's eyes more than just when, you know, SportsCenter is talking about the games that they had. I think that is sort of the next step, is just to keep putting money in these athletes' hands and keep their visibility up, and to make it more and more lucrative to be an American soccer player, both internationally and at the club level. I think that's the big thing.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in Southern California, it's like, hardly people – I don't know who cares about the Galaxy over here, you know? It's still a Laker, Clipper, you know? And sometimes even the Kings get a little bit more coverage here than, you know, soccer, and it's a Latino community here in LA as well. So, man, it's really tough for soccer to get something going on over here.
Mm-hmm. You know what the thing is? I think the problem is that soccer is still a affluent youth sport here. It's very hard to get started in soccer if you're a poor American.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's more a function of the way the club circuit or whatever you want to call it, the way youth soccer is set up. You have to spend a lot of money, and you can't just like go out and kick it around with your friends. And the major MLS can't invest in these programs to broaden the availability of high quality soccer instruction for American youth. And if we're a country of 300 million, there should be more than enough people who can play soccer at a really high level. I mean, just look at the NFL and how many great or phenomenally physically gifted running backs there are that can't even get a shot in the league just because there's so many of them. Imagine if 5% of them realized that soccer was more lucrative to them. What a vast difference it would make to the landscape of soccer American in America.
Yeah.
But it's not a viable option for most of them growing up. Football is. Peewee football is really easy to get into, and it hasn't been priced out of, let's just say, Black Americans' options. And by the way, the same thing's happening to baseball. Andrew McCutchen had a great essay on the Players Tribune about how that's become more the affluent American thing and what a deleterious effect it had on black youths playing it. And, soccer suffers from the same thing. And I don't know how to break those walls down other than, subsidies probably coming from pro sports, but something that like that needs to happen. I think that's a big next step.
Yeah, I mean, going along with that, it's kind of like when you go to play football, you get provided with the equipment. Youth teams have provide you with the pads, helmets. Some of them will provide you with cleats because they're pretty well funded. Soccer, you're not provided with like anything, like even shin guards. You get a jersey, but you gotta buy shorts, you gotta buy shin guards, you gotta buy cleats, you gotta buy all that stuff. And so that goes along with what I'm saying is where the funding comes in and is necessary from the professional, and the same with baseball. I mean, baseball is incredibly expensive. I played baseball growing up, but I mean, a baseball bat is expensive, and like you can share a bat, but to get good, you have to be able to put in practice time on your own. So you need to have that bat, and those bats are at least $100. You know, a good one's like $300. Gloves are not cheap. Heck, baseball
and the travel
aren't exactly cheap. And that's the other thing is with football and basketball, as much as anything, I feel like there's a little less travel at the younger ages. Soccer travel teams start way young. Baseball travel, I knew kids playing travel ball at like 7 years old, which is insane. Football, you just kind of play within your own area and you get up and you really, and the other thing is it's also, for football, there's the AAU, or I think they have AAU, but like it's really high school is where it's at. And basketball has AAU in high school, whereas soccer, it's really about playing on a select team, not a high school team. And baseball is about playing on a travel team, not just, because that's where you get scouts to see you. And so it's really an interesting dynamic between the two youth sports that are able to attract the lowered middle class. And that's definitely something soccer has to address.
Update on the DeAndre Jordan thing. Doc Rivers, Steve Ballmer, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, Paul Pierce, and J.J. Redick are all going to Houston.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
Yeah. wow. They really feel like they need all of them. That's crazy.
This is actually going to be the first time the entire team's met each other. is trying to get DeAndre back. Half these guys haven't seen each other since the end of the season. Paul Pierce isn't even on the team yet. They're all going to get introduced and be like, yeah, let's go get DeAndre back. Like, this feels like there's going to be a movie about this at some point, right?
I know.
Like, there has to be some bad ensemble cast movie about, like, the boys trying to get their guy back because he makes a poor decision. It's like a bad rom-com. Like, he picks the wrong girl, and we're all going to save him and bring him back and get him to the right team.
And then Paul Pierce sees Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan fight, and Paul Pierce is like, peace, I'll go back to Washington. He changes his mind.
Yeah, I think Paul wants to retire in L.A. I think that's it. I mean, he wants to be in L.A.
I'm going to go a slightly different direction, Blake. Blake? Oh, God. Robbie.
We only spent like a week together here. You only stayed in my house.
Yeah, sorry, I think it's more of a Ballmer's 11 sort of thing. Like,
I like that.
They gotta rescue DeAndre. They gotta pull the heist, and it's the biggest case they've ever worked. Is that what they call him? Case? No, it's the biggest job.
Heist.
They chase the place. Yeah. I'm really good at this.
By the way, Adam, yeah. Where's our boy Austin Rivers in all of this? What's he doing?
He's locked in the basement so that DeAndre can't remember he's there.
I believe he's tweeting an emoji of a tricycle. I have to say I stole that from Brian Pickett on Twitter. He's an excellent tweeter.
He's very good.
I did not make that up.
It's the last break, and when we come back, there will be some story time, and there will be some singing. You don't want to miss that.
This is Rowan with BuzzFeed Sports, and you're listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast.
Trapdoor was a man. He was a dragon man. But he was still Trapdoor! Burninating the countryside, burninating the peasants, burninating all the people in the thatched roof cottages! Thatched roof cottages! And the trapdoor comes in the night!
Adam, you know what to do. It's your usual.
Hi, this is Joanne Piston Fan, and all I want to do is have some pun. You're listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Storytime? You want to tell Robbie a story here?
Yeah, you know, Robbie, or should I say Blake, we spent quite a bit of time in Atlanta. We told a lot of stories about each other. But I don't think I ever told you guys about the time that I was a scrivener in 17th century London. Did I ever tell you guys about that?
Jesus Christ.
This sounds absurd, but go ahead.
Okay, I've never heard it. So like the internet hadn't been invented. And also laser jet printers weren't a thing yet, so you had to have people who could write manuscripts, and so that's what scriveners do, is they write, you know, with the quills and scrolls and official documents, and so there's it's a trade, you know, so there's guilds and apprentices and everything. And so me and this guy Lewis, we were both apprentices, and there's a lot that goes into it. It's not like interns these days. You know, back then you were basically doing the same work, but you didn't have the title. So they just used that to make sure that they didn't have to pay you a lot. And so there's I was a very dedicated scrivener in 17th century London. But Lewis was the worst, man. He drank a little too much. And I was like, well, that's a terrible idea. You shouldn't do that. And he's like, well, why? He's like, well, for one, your writing suffers. You know, if you've ever seen a drunk person write, it's like a disaster.
Telling me.
Yeah. And so, but he still had his apprenticeship anyway, because that's the way things worked in 17th century London when I was a scrivener. And so one day, we're up late, and it was a rainy day, cause it rains a lot in London in the 17th century. And you know, the roofs were not so good back then cause they hadn't invented shingles. And so like the rain would drip in. And so I was, you know, I had a carefully constructed little cover over my my workstation, so I could I had a semi dry space to do my scrivening, and I was working on a very important deed. But I got hungry, so I went to Subway. I got a $5 footlong with some Doritos. They had invented that. People don't know that. And so I brought that back. to my workstation, and I had everything, my Subway value meal and my work implements and my deed that I was writing, and Lewis comes in, and he's hammered, and I'm like, man, what are you doing? And he's like, well, you're not the boss of me. We're the same level here. Check out the flowchart, pal. And I'm like, well, you can't. This is the worst time for you to be inebriated. And he's like, why? And I'm like, well, because rubber soles on shoes haven't been invented yet, and you know the rain's coming in through the roof because it's 17th century England, and so you might. You might fall because it's a very slick floor. And he's like, yeah, right. You're not the boss of me. That's the only thing he really knew how to say. Lewis wasn't good with the words. And so sure enough, he's stumbling around and he hits a puddle and he falls right into, my workstation. Yeah. I was able to save my $5 Italian BMT trio, and my deed, but he knocked my quill and stuff into my Doritos. And he's like, whoops, sorry. And I went to my boss, you know, the boss scrivener, and I'm like, listen, boss, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Loose lips. Ink chips.
Jesus.
I hate you so much.
God, get the fuck
off. Yes! Get buckets!
So we wow.
Nice things.
Why do I do this every single episode?
Every week.
Every time.
Every damn week.
That's just... It was really good experience for me, though.
I'm sure it was.
Century
Oh, God.
Well, that was fun. Thank you for listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Robbie, tell us where you work and tell us all your social media stuff and like whatnot. Advertise yourself. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm at CBSSports.com now doing college football and golf and miscellaneous other things. I'll be doing some NBA Summer League coverage from Vegas next week.
Or this I will coming be there
week.
Too.
Yeah. Heck, I'll fly out tomorrow afternoon.
I'm driving tomorrow night.
Gonna have Gonna have some fun in Vegas, watch a little bad basketball, hopefully talk to some folks. It's always my favorite time of year to get out and talk to all the writer folk, the good people of the internet.
Yes, sir.
On Twitter, at rcalland, if you dare follow. with lots of bad jokes and Photoshops, as well as the occasional, like, actual sports insight, but not much. But, yeah.
Oh yeah.
You said you're supposed to put sports insight on Twitter?
I like to flip it in, keep people honest. Mostly just jokes, though.
Thank you so much to Robbie Callan of CBSSports.com and Adam Jacoby, the greatest storyteller of all time, for stopping by and having this awesome discussion of the NBA free agency period, the Women's World Cup, and basically reacting to the whole DeAndre Jordan saga. I think that one is over with. It was recorded in the afternoon of July 8th, and after we went off the air, the Clipper contingent went to DeAndre Jordan's house and basically chilled there the entire time until he got his signature on the dotted line. What a wacky adventure that was. Blake Griffin had a couple of awesome tweets. He had a picture of a chair blocking the door and a picture of a tent camping outside. Hilarious. Anyway, special thanks to Laura from Clear Eyes Full Shells for stopping by to talk about the giant sunglasses. Follow Laura on Twitter at StretchOctave, O-C-T-A-V-E. Follow Robbie Callan on Twitter at rcalland, R-K-A-L-L-A-N-D. And follow Adam on Twitter at Adam_Jacoby. You spell Jacoby with J-A-C-O-B-I. In the meantime, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at rayray.net, and you can find the podcast on both Stitcher and the Happy Hour Network. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at rayrayisfun, and you can follow my personal Twitter account at thenolookpass. Sorry for the hiatus. I have some personal things going on. I will be in Las Vegas for the NBA Summer League, so hopefully I can get some podcast episodes done there. And hopefully this large podcast, which I normally don't do, will make up for not having one over the last 2.5 weeks. Just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people. But this episode is not done yet. Robbie and Adam, take it home.
Oh yeah, before I let you guys go to karaoke songs. I think Robbie mentioned Regulate. Mm-hmm. I think you guys did Regulate.
That's one Adam and I have had success duetting in the past.
Yes. He's the Warren G, I'm the Nate Dogg, and it works.
Okay.
It does.
Can you give us a sample really quick?
Oh man, without a track? You want to
learn? Yeah, there's acapella is tough. Acapella Regulate's real tough, by the way. It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the eve so I can get some funk, just rolling them a ride, chilling all alone.
Just hit the east side of the LBC on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to tweak. All you skirts know what's up with 213.
So I hooks a left on 21 and Lewis, some brothers shooting dice, so I said, let's do this. I jumped out the ride and said, what's up? Some brothers pulled some gaps, so I said, I'm stuck.
Since these girls peeping me on my glide and swerve, these hookers looking so hard, this rate hit the curb. On to bigger, better things and some horny tricks. I see my homies and some suckers all in his mix.
I'm getting jacked. I'm breaking myself. I can't believe they're taking Warren's wealth. They took my rings. They took my Rolex. I looked at the brothers, said, damn, well, what's next?
They got my homie hemmed up and they all around. Can't even see them if they're going straight pound for pound. They want to come up real quick before they start to clown. I best pull up my strap and lay them busters down.
They got guns to my head. I think I'm going down. I can't believe it's happening in my hometown. Had wings, I would fly. Let me contemplate. I glance in the cut and I see my homie Nate.
16 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Adam J is about to make somebody soon cold. Dropping in young, it's a tad bit late. Adam J and Robbie K had to regulate.
Ah, yeah.
That's a little sample for you.
That was great, man. That was great. Hopefully we get some of that in Vegas, Robbie. And Adam,
you already know it.
Adam, I guess you'll be there in spirit of some sort or whatever.
That's right. I'll be urging you guys on from the safety of Iowa City. Game over, yeah!
Moded.